Conversations That Matter is a partner program for the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the support of the following and viewers like you.
Trust. What is it? How is it earned? How is it lost? And are we losing trust in governments, politicians, business, media, and non-government agencies? In the aftermath of Brexit and the U.S. presidential election, where misinformation was the order of the day, did we lose our trust in leaders? And are we also losing trust in the conduit between us and them, the media? President Trump labeled gold standard media outlets as fake news, and his followers believed him. Mainstream media lived in a bubble, echoing their belief that they, and they alone, knew what the real story was, only to have missed it. Online media feeds you stories and information that support your perspective, and rarely the other side of an argument. This week's guest, Bridget Anderson of Edelman, a global public affairs and communications company, shares insights from the company's international survey on trust. She says globally and in Canada, we're losing faith across the board. Bridget Anderson, welcome.
Thank you.
Every year you put out this trust barometer. Why does Edelman do this? And I know that you don't do it just here in Canada, you do it globally. Mm-hmm. Why do it?
Trust is implicit in reputation, brand reputation, but it's also the key commodity in interactions between organizations and their customers or their consumers or their clients. And so taking a look at why it's important has become a fundamental piece of work for Edelman globally. And it's something that we've measured for 17 years, and particularly in the institutions of business, government, media, and NGOs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I noticed from your report that in Canada, we've been traditionally a pretty trusting group. Mm-hmm. I think that if you go back to the 1960s or whatnot, we had great faith in institutions and politicians and organizations that we believed in. And now, based on the trust barometer that you've released from last year, we slipped into the not so sure that I trust you anymore category.
Yeah, right on that precipice, slipping into that distruster category, which is really interesting. But I think it's also reflective of a couple of things about what's happening in the broader world, and mm-hmm. certainly seeing what has been happening in the United States and some of the Western European countries as well. But also the time that we were in the field. So we were in field last fall, right around the U.S. election.
Right.
So that had a halo effect, most certainly. Because it's not just voters in the U.S. who I think were paying attention,
mm-hmm.
it was people in Canada as well.
But we were also coming out of we're in the aftermath of Brexit as well.
Absolutely. Brexit did play a role in that too. So I think that all around the globe, people are looking at their institutions and saying, you know what, I'm not sure this is working for me anymore.
It's a wake-up call, isn't it?
Yes, I would say that there is some remarkable data. It's a wake-up call, but maybe I'm a half glass, half full person. But I think it's also an opportunity for organization and for leaders to step up and to address why people are feeling so distrusting. And then how do you build that trust?
Mm-hmm. So what exactly is trust?
That is the $64,000 question.
Well, is it emotional or is it logical or is it a combination of the two?
It's both. And it comes down to things like, I know that you as an individual or as an organization, you're going to do what you say you're going to do. You are going to be transparent. You are going to be accountable. So trust is really, I think that that's a perfect way to say it, is that it's logical on those, but it's also emotional too, where mm-hmm. you don't want to feel betrayed or let down or disappointed by an individual or by an organization.
You know, I was thinking about this. Okay, do I trust my own ability to trust? Because there's a bit of an internal mm-hmm. thing about this. And right now, I think that a lot of people are saying, okay, for the longest time, I believed in all of this stuff. But then along comes the U.S. presidential election, Brexit. We're seeing all sorts of misinformation campaigns mm-hmm. around a wide variety of issues. And we're now starting to go, well, who do I trust? Like, what happens when the president of the United States says, New York Times, fake news?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? I thought that was supposed to be, like, the one place that you'd go, no, I'm going to get something close to the truth.
It is, I think, one of the biggest seismic shifts that we've seen. And perhaps it goes back to, and a lot of the data that we have shows it goes to the explosion of what we're seeing online and social media, where people, it's true, the alternative facts have really played a role. And we've called it the echo chamber, if you will. So people are more likely to listen or to follow opinions that just reflect and reinforce their own. Mm-hmm. And even when they are faced with information that that would counteract some of their beliefs, they're discounting that and they're still believing what they want to believe.
I was reading an interesting article that talked about how there's been this change between traditional media, which would be newspapers, radio, and television. Mm-hmm. Hard to think of television as being traditional media because it was the disruptor at one time. And so you go back to the early 1990s, there were 440 some odd thousand people who were journalists in the United States, nobody in online. About 7 or 8 years ago, we saw the drop in traditional media journalists going down, online journalism going up, and for the last 7 or 8 years, it's that online community that is now dominating. Mm-hmm. And they don't live spread around the country, they live in bubbles. And so I'm speaking to this echo chamber.
So what we're seeing in 2017 was a 10-point drop in the trust in media overall.
10 points.
That is remarkable. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the largest drops we've seen in Canada in media as well. So to me, that says a lot about what's happening online and the kind of news that has been packaged as news where, in fact, it was perhaps some editorial, some paid-for content, some people who are calling themselves citizen journalists. So mm-hmm. It has had an enormous impact on the journalism community. At the same time, we're seeing the decimation of mainstream journalism,
right,
which is allowing for that information for other information sources to come online, if you will.
That media is the conduit by which most people have access to government, to non-government organizations, and to business. Like we go to media and say, okay, tell us about these organizations. But through that, we're also losing trust in those other organizations as well.
Yes, we're seeing a 10-point drop in government, and that is really, we don't specify whether it's federal, provincial, or civic government, so that could be thought of as for any three levels of government. But we're also seeing, we have seen and continue to see over the last several years, a drop in trust in CEOs as spokespeople. So, you know, I know, and in politicians and in people who serve on boards of like directors. So I think those are all that all speaks to trust in leadership overall. A couple of years ago, the theme of the Edelman Trust Barometer was a crisis in leadership. And so that trend has really continued. So you have these people speaking for organizations or people in positions of influence who are speaking publicly. And the public is saying, I don't trust what you're saying. You know, one of the things going back to media, we are seeing that more people trust when information is leaked than when it comes from a news release or some official information from a corporation.
Or I guess from anonymous sources. Why is it we're trusting leaked or anonymous sources more than people that we're used to going to?
They're thinking that has to be an unbiased piece of information. That's something that comes from an organization or a corporation because it is sent out formally or officially that there is some sort of bias or some sort of sheen put on it, if you will.
So, okay, who are we talking about that is losing trust? Because when you did your survey, what kinds of people, not only in North America but around the world, are you talking to?
So 33,000 people are surveyed in 28 countries.
Wow, that's a big sampling.
It's a very big sampling. And the other way that it's split is between what we call the informed public and then the mass population. And the informed public is seen to be those who are higher educated, who come from higher socioeconomic backgrounds. And one of the most interesting findings from the Trust Barometer this year was this gap that we're seeing. So we are seeing people generally who are seen to be the informed public, where traditionally they might have been seen to have better access to information, so therefore they might know more, so they would be more trusting. And then the mass population would be less trusting. We're certainly seeing that divide grow. And so...
Like how so? Like are the mass population more distrusting? Or
yes.
Like even more so?
Yes,
so more. Is that because they don't trust people any longer to say, even though I'm an expert?
What I think it shows is that there is, by the mass population, that they are rejecting those people in authority and those the influence, the establishment, if you will, which is what we're seeing in elections right across many, many jurisdictions, where the status quo or the system isn't working, or I don't trust it and I want change.
But is that not a problem? Does that not cause concern that when somebody who actually knows what they're talking about says, I know what I'm talking about, and somebody says to them, yeah, well, that's your opinion. No, it's not. I actually know that this is true.
Well, and I think this goes back to the alternative facts. So are people basing their opinions on facts, or are they basing it on alternative facts? Mm-hmm. And then it is compounded by, where are you getting your information? Is it just reinforcing your viewpoint because you are subscribing to information online or blogs or et cetera that just reinforce what you already believe? Or are you actually opening yourself up to different perspectives?
Right. Well, I read a really interesting article that said intelligent people are more likely to hang on to a wrong fact or point of view than those who are less informed, because they're really good at building the case around their perspective. And so getting them to give up that is actually harder.
And that's exactly what the trust barometer is showing. In fact, that there was a statistic in it that showed that many people, they believe that they're their beliefs, and if they are shown different beliefs by a political leader, for example, that even if it's not true, that they're fine with that, or they're going
it's
to
continue
because
they
to
want to believe that. More of that echo chamber.
Yes, exactly.
I had Rada Kirpin, who is the managing partner at Bennett Jones, on a few weeks ago, talking about social license to operate. Mm-hmm. How do we get that? And in doing my research, you know, you start to see that this whole idea of granting social license is, well, this group over here doesn't like what you're doing, and so it's saying, until we like it, you shouldn't be allowed to do that. Well, that, in an odd way, starts to break down the processes that we've built to be able to do proper regulatory work. And we're saying, well, I know you're the regulator, I know that you're the expert, I know that you've done all these things, I still don't trust you.
And that's what the trust barometer shows as well. Regulators are right down on the lower end of the spectrum of who people trust. So CEOs, government, boards of directors, and regulators. All of that official establishment, not trusted. On the other hand,
Even though that's their work.
That is their work.
This is what they're, you know, mandated to do.
So who are those most trusted voices? There are academic experts, technical experts who are seen to be, who have more information, who are perhaps more neutral.
Yeah.
Also employees, one of the most trusted voices for organizations. So how do you leverage that voice of the employee to speak on behalf of the organization? How do you leverage those voices of experts, technical or academic? And then help to move the conversation.
Just as you're saying that, I'm thinking you and I have both worked in news, and you'd go, well, I don't want the official spokesperson, or I don't want the CEO. I want that woman over there or that guy there, because they're on the front line.
Absolutely. You think about a number of consumer brands, and you think, yeah, I don't want to hear how great that product is from the CEO. I want to hear from the person who actually is dealing with that product on an everyday basis. Why does that person choose to work for that organization? And our research is showing that that person, that employee, can not only speak about the product, they are also most trusted to speak about financial performance or innovation. And so really important matters, which we maybe traditionally thought the CEO should only speak about this, but if organizations leverage the voice of their employees, it increases transparency, it builds accountability, and it builds trust.
But does an organization not run the risk of that same employee going, yeah, but I told them about this, and that they could do that? And if they're not sort of given the freedom to do that, does then their own trust level start to diminish?
And it goes back to that pyramid of influence that I was talking about. So that top-down approach, which is what we have all been used to for so many decades. So it's not just in communication, but in operations as well. So is an organization willing to think about it on a more horizontal approach rather than, you know, a vertical approach of top-down? Will you let your people speak on behalf of your organization.
Yeah.
But it does require trust from the CEO or from the executive.
It certainly does, because you know as well as I do, if I put that person out there to speak to the media, and you've got an experienced interviewer, they're gonna be able to run circles around that person.
There is still a role for CEOs and executives. I mean, yeah. It should be clear about that, especially in times of crisis, really important. And you still want your voice of your CEO to be front and center for the organization, but are there times when the employee can speak better? And I would say social media is a really good example of when an employee voice is important, because mm-hmm. you think about who you're speaking to on social media, a lot of millennials, a lot of younger people on social media, that's where they get their information.
Mm-hmm.
So they would be more likely to trust if it's coming from a person like me, is the way that Edelman phrases it.
Okay, so one thing that was interesting in the survey is we talk about, you know, the average person, somebody who leaks something, somebody who's anonymous. So I would think, okay, NGOs who are kind of outside of the system and mm-hmm. they're saying, hey, pay attention, but their credibility seems to have dropped as well. What's happened there?
You know, that was one of the things that I think has also stuck out for me, especially this year. And that could be eroding trust in regards to a number of things that have happened globally, perhaps around different policies, where you're seeing some NGOs take a real stand on it
mm-hmm.
and have been really front and center.
I think that's got to be difficult, because NGOs live on the fact that people trust them. And
yes.
if there's a drop in that trust there, it's going to affect their ability to mount a campaign.
Because mm-hmm.
that takes money, and it takes people saying, okay, I trust you enough to give you my money so that you can speak on my behalf.
Yeah, I think overall, people are less trusting of all the institutions. That was clear in this year's trust barometer, that trust was down across all four institutions globally. Why is that, and what can you do to help turn that around and to address it?
Well, this whole idea of corporate social responsibility at one time was to address that. But what you're saying is that, well, not even that's working at the moment.
No, not necessarily, because
no?
when you look at the 16 attributes that organizations have at their disposal to help build trust, people still want to see that organizations are giving back to their community and making a real difference. So our trust barometer results for the last several years, and certainly this year, show that it's no longer enough just for a corporation to have good financial performance, good
mm-hmm.
results. That's just table stakes. What they want to see is making a difference in their community and in people's lives.
We're also hearing that an awful lot of the next generation of workers are saying, I only want to work for an organization that I have faith in
mm-hmm.
And that I believe is making a positive contribution, not only locally, nationally, but globally as well. So I guess by becoming trustworthy, it helps you to attract a better team.
People are looking at government. And we'll talk about business in a second, but government, they are blaming them for the problems. So the majority of people are blaming the government for problems, but also saying that they're the ones that are responsible for fixing these problems. And then when we look at business, people are saying, and I want the companies that I am supporting,
mm-hmm.
I want them to make people's lives better and to make their community better and to make their environment better around them.
Mm-hmm.
So the very high expectations on government and on business. But again, I go back to, it's also a huge opportunity.
Well, what is that number one opportunity that you are sharing with your clients that you want somebody who's watching this conversation to say, okay, there's something that I can get out of this?
Integrity, accountability, and transparency. But then how are you communicating your messages, and who are you using to tell those messages? What kind of vehicles are you using? What kind of people are your spokespeople?
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to leveraging the voices of the people within your organization who know the organization extremely well and are extremely trusted. So can an organization or an executive let go a little of that control and that top-down approach, and
it's
let
hard
some
to do.
Of the very hard to do.
Yeah.
But those organizations who have done it have been very successful in doing it overall. Mm-hmm. So once you have those people speaking on behalf of what you're doing, and you let people inside the tent a little, so, you know, let's think about organizations that do have a strong corporate social responsibility mandate, and they're letting people be part of that and to see that, mm-hmm. those organizations tend to thrive. It's the organizations that have been caught in scandals around compensation, around some of their business practices, that is where you're seeing the distrust happen, that people saying, you know what, I thought you could do better than that, or I wanted you to do better than that, and why are you not speaking? Why are you not addressing it? Why are you mm-hmm. not being accountable for what you've done?
And that affects the way that people make buying decisions.
It's all in brand reputation, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it is the way that consumers are making many of their choices now. It's not enough to say, oh, I really like this great product, whether it's a soap or a pair of shoes. I want the organization who's making that product to be giving back and to helping to the greater good.
Mm-hmm. So it takes a big commitment on behalf of anybody who starts to get into the public view to say, I recognize that I have to make sure that we're, you know, living to these standards and that we're communicating them as well.
Yeah, it's not a communications issue. It's operational and it's also communications. How are you telling that story about what you're doing and where and how?
Well, it's a very interesting time that we find ourselves in right now. That it's clear that there's a shift going on.
And huge shift.
And so those who know how to embrace it and respond will probably do well.
I love this study because it just gives such a fascinating insight to all levels of society, really globally, and then also slices it where it's really important for Canadians. And I think as we watch the U.S. election particularly, and watch Brexit and watch some of the other elections in the EU, it's really important that we're being serious and we're taking a look about this and thinking about, we see trust falling, what can we all do to make it a little better and to increase trust and integrity and accountability?
Well, part of that, though, is incumbent upon me to say, okay, I'm going to go find other sources of information that will confirm or put into question what I'm hearing.
That echo goes back to that echo chamber that we all have to be willing to be open to hearing other perspectives and then be willing to change our minds rather than what the data is showing, that those who actually might look to other avenues of information most likely don't change their minds. So if we're presented with new information, it's okay to change your mind if it's better information.
Yes. Isn't that what science is all about?
Yes.
It's right until it's proven wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. So
thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's a topic that can go on and on.
Absolutely.